Sunday with Miriam on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Travel Department. Explore the wonder of the world's most iconic sites with Travel Department, the world discovered together.
But look, first this morning, it's 2 years this month since Francis and John Brennan sold the Park Hotel in Kenmare. John still has Drumquina Manor, of course, and they're both happy to keep dispensing advice to other people in the hospitality industry in the television series At Your Service. And they're here with me in studio this morning, John and Francis Brennan. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Good morning, Marion.
Great to be here.
Lovely to see you, Francis. Now, listen, first of all, how are you keeping, Francis? I met you 2 years ago when the handover was only a few months away. But you're still living on the grounds of the hotel, is that right?
That's right, yeah.
You couldn't leave.
I'm squatting, yeah. We did build 18 apartments there many years ago, all right? And I'm living in one of those now, okay? And the reason being, I lived out the country, 11 miles from Kenmare, on 63 acres and a lovely country house and a cottage in the garden. It was really lovely. I was never there very much, but I had it all the time. And I decided that when I was getting closer to 70, that I might need to go to the post office and I might not be able to drive, or I might go to the church or the bank or whatever it was. So coming into town, I had a house in town that I built. Actually, the very, 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 very first television show I ever did was building that house.
Wow.
So I had that house in town and I was moving back to that house. And then John said, oh, buy an apartment and everything would be great. And then my niece Ruth said, yeah, we'll bring you your dinner over every night in tin foil. Well, that's not going to happen anymore now.
I go to Barcelona now as well.
I'm going to starve now. I go to starve because there's no tinfoil dinners coming, unfortunately. But anyway, I'm really delighted. I love it. And the best thing is when I go home after driving, say, from here today now, although I'm going further up the country later on, when you get home to Kenmare, you're home. No, I don't have to go the 11 miles out the country road and up then and into my house.
So it's great.
So it's great. And I'm very, very happy.
Now, John, before I ask you about you, how do you think your brother Francis has dealt with walking away from the hotel?
I don't think it has affected him that much, to be honest with you, which is very surprising because we were hoteliers from the very beginning and we worked in reception. We didn't have offices upstairs. We'd never had a PA or or assistant or anything of that nature. And to walk away from that is very difficult, and particularly in Francis's position because he started the whole thing back in 1980. So to do that, it wasn't easy, I'm sure, but it has given him huge freedom to travel, which he has done, and it's taken an awful lot of stress away from us all because... Yeah. Business in today's world is not easy. Okay, we won't even get into that on this show, but it's tough and it takes its toll. And certainly where what even has happened in the last 2 years has been difficult. But none of us walked through. Well, actually, if you were in the Park Hotel today, it's like a building site because they're doing great work down there at the minute, but there's cranes and everything everywhere. But if we never walked through the front door and say, oh, I missed this. And I don't think you do either, do you?
No, I call in, like, our post is, the 18 apartments, the post is delivered to the hotel, all right? And I go in every second day or whatever it's for the post. I just walk in, collect my post, say hello to everybody and walk out.
Yeah.
And I don't think about it. It's actually unbelievable after 42 years.
But is that because also there's a relief that all that stress is gone? You're not responsible for everything.
You see,
there.
People don't understand. You never lock the front door of a hotel. When you finish your show here today, you go home. You'll be thinking of things, but you're not on air. You're not responsible. No. Yeah. When you own a hotel, you're responsible 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And the intensity of that is relentless. So like the Shelburne only locked their front door at COVID. Imagine that after 200 odd years. Mm. So it just never stops. And
there could be a flood tonight. Or somebody can fall down the stairs and the first person they call is you.
Yeah, and the worst thing is at 11 o'clock when the phone rings and the night porter hasn't come to work.
Oh, yeah.
That's the
greatest. You're on duty overnight.
That means you're out of your bed and you're in. And that just never stops.
And so you stopped biting your nails, I hear.
I have stopped. Did you notice it?
Yes.
I haven't got the nice colour you have now. I haven't progressed to that yet. But I didn't know I stopped biting my nails, but I did stop. We all bit our nails, but I bit my nails for 40 odd years and we sold the hotel. And 2 months later, I looked down and I had nails.
Isn't that amazing?
Subconsciously.
See, I would say to you, I never had stress. Mm. But when I went to the doctor at 68 years of age, he gave me a stent. I couldn't believe it. I thought, what do I need a stent for? But you see, stress builds up in you and you don't even know it's there. You're just living on stress all the time.
Yeah. But how do you stop yourself, Francis? Because you're a real perfectionist. So when you go in for your post, do you notice things that annoy you? Do you have to stop yourself?
The style of the hotel has changed completely because they've gone all modern art now. So when you walk in, you're immediately, you know, hit with four pieces of modern art, which are great and all the rest. Not my style, but that's That's not for me to choose, all right? So I just move along very quietly and say nothing. If they hang pink elephants from the roof, I couldn't care less.
That could happen.
And John, I think, is this right? So new generations, your son Adam has got more and more involved. Yeah. So does that mean even more that you and your wife, Gwen, you can take a back seat?
Yeah, to some degree. And, you know, business need vision and business need passion and energy. So you always have, and we have that still, thanks be to God, through Drumquina. And it's lovely because the minute you drive through the gates of Drumquina, I feel I'm on holidays. I never get the sense I'm going to work. And last night we had a party, a connected family member got married yesterday in Drumquina, and there was a party down at Shutters last night. And I arrived at 7 o'clock just to say hello to them all. And I'd say 10 people were outside taking photographs of down the bay. It's just a lovely location. So it's different, and it's a different business. And we do close Drumquina. So you do actually close the front gate at certain times of the year, and you can go home and you have nothing to worry about because there's no one on site, which was different than the hotel business.
Of course, it was in your genes, because I always think people forget things. But of course, your dad and mum ran that grocery shop. Yeah. They worked relentlessly, didn't they?
When you think my mum didn't ever work in the shop, funny enough. No, but dad did it every day of his life, from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, except even Christmas Day he used to open.
Yeah,
He used to take a half day himself on a Monday. That was all right.
We used to go to British Bay on a Monday during the summer, which was great.
Great thrill for us, yeah. And then mum would cook a chicken and we'd have a great picnic down on the beach.
With sand.
Yeah. Sand and chicken. So, what would you get? Where would you get it? But, you know, my dad worked very hard. Like, I worked hard too, but I loved every second of it. My dad worked hard carrying 4 stone bags of potatoes and briquettes to people's cars. That's hard work.
Yeah.
When you're in your late, you know, when you're...
And it's funny now, because when mum, dad, our nephew Paul moved into the house and he found plans upstairs that dad had designed a hotel in 1964. Now, there was no hotel blood in his veins. And he designed this hotel in 1964 built on my mother's land, farmland in Sligo, overlooking Loch Gill. But it was the classiest, slickest design you have ever seen. To this day, it would be still a stunning building. It was a Frank Lloyd Wright style architecture. But even to find the architect to be able to design that hotel in 1964 was some achievement. So he had a style about him and a panache about him that knew it had to be different. But thanks be to God, that hotel never happened. Because I wouldn't be here today if it did. That was 64. I would have been busy.
and just say, on that hotel situation, my dad had got married in 51. And it got a tailey coat, you know, the one that Fred Astaire wears, all right, for his wedding. Bought it, like, didn't rent it for the day or anything. He bought it. And it used to be at home in the wardrobe. I used to put it on and I used to think, oh, I look great. You know, this is now when I was 6 and 7 and 8 years of age, all right. And then, of course, that the hotel was going to be built. And I thought, oh my God, should I have the tailey coat? Yeah. I'll be going around the front hall looking like Fred Astaire. But do you know what it is? I never got to wear a tailey coat in any job I ever had. Oh. I bought about 12 of them for different members of the staff.
Jim,
over the years, and John as well.
Shagan.
I bought them for them, but I never worked in one. So, big disappointment.
There's time yet.
A big disappointment.
I must read you this message just come in. I've always wanted the opportunity to tell Francis and John that I worked as a caretaker on the Great Blasket Island, and it was part of my job to look after the cottages and get them ready for guests. There was no electricity and no hot water, so it was always a challenge. But my catchphrase every day as we finished preparing the houses was, what would the Brennans say? No. So thank you guys for getting me through a busy season.
We got the pressure was on, God help her, all the time.
And I visit regularly with the seals on the beach. Beautiful, beautiful place. Gorgeous.
He comes in from the boat side, yeah.
Now, John, I know you tried hosting everyone for Christmas after years of you all having Christmas dinner in the park when you left. What did you discover about that?
Okay. We sold the hotel in November and we said it was a good idea to have Christmas at home. So we all came to our house. Francis moved in and Ruth came home from Barcelona. Adam and the girlfriend and the boyfriend were all there. And then we had neighbours in as well. And I think we had 10 people for dinner, and we had 10 people kind of for 10 days. And the one thing that hit us like a bolt out of the blue was the wash-up. We never washed in our lives. And we had all these cups, saucers, plates, knives, forks, everything, 3 times a day. So we did it for 2 years, and this year we're going away. We're not able to do it again.
Can't do it a third year. We have, you know, John Mayarty was our head barman for many, many years at the hotel. And he used to, when we would close in the winter, he'd live in the hotel. And he'd only be cooking a one-pot dinner, because I can't stand the wash-up, he used to say. Yeah.
But it's funny now because it's one of those things which never struck us. But we always had Christmas Day in the hotel with the heads of the department. At 5 o'clock, we'd have dinner after Santi had arrived with toys for all the kids. And then we all went home, but they were left in the kitchen, God love them, doing the wash-up. But yeah, never dawned on us.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we had a lovely wash-up lady, Peggy O'Connor, who worked for me. Now, we employed her, like, probably in her late 50s, I'd say, back in 1980. And she worked with me for 15 or 20 years, all right? And you know, I used to take the staff on holidays every year for... We used to go away abroad, whatever. And when she was retiring, she said to me, now, she's a 68-year-old woman in Kenmare Town, all right? Her husband had died some years before. And she said to me, you know, Mr. Brennan, she says, only for you, I would have been nowhere in the world. Yeah. And I thought, such a beautiful thing to say.
But that trip that you did was great for the staff, because that's exactly the point. They would not have gone to the places they went, to Egypt and to Cyprus and to Las Vegas and London and Dublin and Wicklow, various different places. But it was a great trip to do because it brought them travel and it brought them education.
And places. And then the head chef danced with the housekeeper and the housekeeper danced with the
We won't go further on that one now.
Well, do you know what I mean? We are creating a little team group together,
Listen, Cormac has texted in saying, will you ask the Brennan brothers what's their opinion on hotel bedrooms with only glass panels separating the bathroom from the bedroom?
Yeah, we did toy with the idea at one stage with two rooms in the park that had particularly small rooms to give the sense of space and the sense of light.
Yeah.
Well, I saw now a place I stayed in Portugal some years back. Villa Vita.
Oh yeah, Villa Vita.
Very nice. Okay, they have that, a glass wall between, but they have a curtain that you pull across. And I thought, that's just perfect. If you want to pull across the curtain, it closes the window into the bathroom. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that you can actually do both. And then
the other one is where you push the button on the gas changes and it turns off. But no, I wouldn't be in favour of them. If you're doing that, you need to put the toilet in the cubicle that's separate.
Yeah. You can't be sitting on the toilet and tell it. Looking through even the misty glass. Forget
it. No, it's not very romantic.
No, we're not mad about that.
Yeah, no. Absolutely. Now, we were talking obviously about your dad and your mum. You had a blissful childhood. You all loved it. But I noticed, Francis, you were in studio with my fellow great presenter, Brendan O'Connor, a few months ago. You had a great chat about music, chose your favourite tracks, but you also told him, I noticed, that when you went to school in Westland Row, I picked that up, it wasn't great and you were often frightened.
They murdered us. Absolutely. John never had the you never went there. We went to the Christian Brothers in Westland Row, and the simpler reason was because it was on the 44 bus, which dropped us at the end of our road in Sandyford and came right to the Westland Row, the school. It was an inner city school and it was, you know, they needed to keep discipline. But they absolutely murdered me.
I mean, would they hit you?
Oh, they would just stop it. I tell you now, Damien, my brother, came home one time with the actual outline, complete outline of the leather strap with the stitching and all, every stitch on his leg, all right? And we were, like, it was there. We didn't pass any notice of it. But anyway, a girl across the road, a lovely Protestant girl across the road from us, okay? you know, like, very proper. We were playing and she says to Damien, my brother, what's that on your leg? And she's looking down at it. And Damien says, oh, that's brother so-and-so gave me a wallop in school. And what school do you go to? She says, she was completely shocked, you see. What school do you go to? And he said, we go to Christian Brothers in Western Row. Well, she says, and she was only 8, they're not very Christian.
That is true.
But it was tough. It was a tough school.
Because you're all very gentle and you're particularly gentle. So I could imagine if you were like a young boy. Well,
I got up every morning, ate my porridge and puked it into the toilet and went to school. Every single morning.
Is that because you were terrified?
Yeah, terrified. I didn't pass any notice of it at the time, but I was terrified because I did everything to the best of my ability and I studied really hard and I try and get it all right. And then my mother helped me with the Irish, and then I got a biff because the Irish was West of Ireland Irish and I live in Dublin. My mother was helping me write down the words and they killed me.
But you're laughing now, but it probably was not.
Oh, it was not nice. Well, not if you get sick every morning for 6 years. You know what I mean? Like, any wonder I had stress.
Did you ever meet anyone, even after you spoke to Brendan, who said, oh, I had a similar experience?
Yeah, I have.
People reached out to you?
Yeah, and not just from Western Row, other Christian Brothers schools. Like, you know, they lived a funny life, the Christian Brothers. They were very much, you know, like taking their anguish out on you. You know, it was a pity, really. And then, of course, everything was in Irish. And that didn't help because I wasn't good at Irish. So I know nothing about early Irish history at all. I remember the book was around the house for years later. I thought, oh, get rid of that. It reminds me of Western Row.
And you're obviously a bit younger. What was your experience? Were you okay?
No, I got leather as well in CUS, which actually we would have a very soft spot for the Marists. But that was the early 80s. And I probably deserved it, to be fair. But I would have got that. And then I went to Sligo and I went to the Mercy Convent in Ballysadare with the nuns. And that was absolutely fabulous. That was a total change, because it was interesting, because CUS and Leeson Street, everyone came from everywhere to the school. So when you went home to Bilali Drive, you didn't have friends from school, because they were in Terenure, they were in
locals.
They were from all over. So when I went to Sligo, and it was a co-ed school, and the nuns were really, really nice in Sligo, I have to say, I couldn't say a word against them. And it was a totally different culture, because it was a farming school. And the conversation was totally different. And the so-and-so couldn't come in today because they were doing silage or they were doing hay or whatever the case be. And two fellas went and they helped them. And it was a lovely community in Ballysadare. But in CUS, I didn't like the regime. And listen, they taught Latin in CUS. Okay? I couldn't understand English. All right, so it was very simple. Okay,
no, Mum said...
I should never have gone to CUS.
Mum said when he went there, and you were doing French or something as well, were you?
Don't talk to me.
Mum said he was illiterate in four languages. Poor John.
So I don't know why they sent me to CUS, because I should never have been sent to CUS.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. But I would say also, both of you, but you as well, Francis, you know, your experience obviously was very bad. It's good. But I'd say you're very much practical, get on with it sort of person. I don't think in your life you dwell on things.
No.
Would I be right on that?
Absolutely, 100%. Plenty of no notice. They laugh at me in the family, you know.
What does that
mean? Laugh at you.
Well, like, I'm not paying any attention to that. Move along, please. Yeah. No notice.
Sweep it under the carpet.
Yeah, that's
keep going.
Me. I keep going. And you know, it all ends up fine then at the end.
Yeah.
And I haven't said a word.
Until you lift the carpet.
But you don't have to do that.
No, you don't.
Where does that practicality instinct come from? From your mum? From your dad?
Dad would have been like
that. Dad would be like that.
And dad would have been very, like, the shop would have been proper, all the labels facing out, everything.
Yeah, and if you went into the store, you know, Mrs. Brown was looking for a tin of peas and that size wasn't on the shelf, would you go in and get one? If you only brought out one and the shelf is empty, you'd eat you. Because you can carry six of them. Do you know what I mean? Which is true. And it's only one walk. I was a great waiter because I never left the restaurant without something in my hand. Because there was always something to bring in.
Because you all worked very young. I mean, you had odd jobs when you were young.
Yeah.
And you mentioned working, of course, both of you in the grocers. But you also have something, whether it's Dunn's or at your service, going, you'll never retire, will you, Francis?
No, I suppose I won't. I won't. I mean, the Dunn's thing takes a lot of time and I enjoy every minute of it. And it's getting bigger and bigger every year. You know, like, it's unbelievable where we've gone with that. Because we started out with just linen and now we're all over the place. All to do with high-end hotel available stuff.
Yeah, which is fabulous. Yeah. I watched you as you came in today, met you downstairs at the front door in TV reception. You're very close, aren't you? Have you got closer over the years as brothers, or?
Well, we
were not close at all until I went to Kildare.
No, you see, because
there's 13 years between us.
Mm. There's 13 years between us. I was gone from home when John came of age. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So we never knew each other as brothers then. No. It's only since he came to Kerry that we would know each other as
well. We would be close. Well, actually, it's funny because we did a photo shoot the other day and the photographer said something. I said, well, I haven't seen Francis since June.
Yeah, that's true.
And apart from this week, we're together now for this week, and then I'm gone on Tuesday and we won't see each other until we're going on holidays together at Christmas.
Yeah.
Would be the next time. So people think we live together like...
Yeah, I'm in and out and he's in and out, and by the time we all come together, it's very...
But there would be no week we wouldn't talk, even when you're away. If I was away, we'd talk.
We talk
every second
time.
Day.
Yeah.
Mm. And the five children, the five of you are alive, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which is lovely.
Unless you've news for us, no?
No. Damon, my brother, is in Sligo. And then Kate is in up here in Ballantyr. And Susan is in Sligo as well. Yeah.
Yeah, well, look, you're always so nice to chat to the pair of you. I wish you both the very best going forward. Thank you very much for making the journey to come here into me today.
It's very dark this morning when we left.
Yeah,
I know.
From disadvantaged Kerry.
Beautiful Kerry. My father's kingdom. I love it.
Oh, yeah.
So listen, Francis, John, thank you so much for coming in this morning. Mind yourselves. We'll take a break.